Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
All right.
Here we are.
Pouring rain.
Mm-hmm. Just like the prophecy admitted, or whatever the joke is that I've been telling every time it rains in Los Angeles. Hi, I'm Jackie.
Wait, you have a joke about every time it rains in Los Angeles?
Every time it rains in Los Angeles, I say the same thing, which
yeah.
means that I tell it six times a year.
Right.
And I say, rain, water from the sky, just like the prophecy predicted.
Okay.
Every time. And boy, does it get, it's a crowd pleaser.
I think people must nod in agreement and go, I wonder what else she has.
No other people. let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Dang.
What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? What kind of a question is that?
Why don't you fill the next moment of this podcast? Why don't you do that?
Well, I put sparkly lights up behind Kyle to make it seem like a more friendly occasion.
Oh, the illusion
you like
of friendliness. I like it.
They twinkle.
They do twinkle.
David Lynch, who later disgraced himself by saying he thought Trump would be good for America in the way that it will anger people. But he did write a book about meditation in his life, and he wrote the twinkling lights were really inspirational and that he loved them. And I was mm-hmm. like, I do too. And I'm not going to just wait for Christmas to have twinkling lights.
Nope.
All year round.
All year long, sucker.
Yeah.
David Lynch, he's famous. Hey, by the way, last week's episode, you said, is Jose Andres of the Bazaar, I went to that restaurant, you said, is he the guy who was giving away free food to
right.
the furloughed feds? And I said, no. And then I looked it up, and that was him. You were correct.
Oh, wow. So 2 seconds ago, you told me you were wrong, and now you've had to pivot 180 degrees and tell me you are correct.
And sometimes that's what I'm like. Sometimes I'm wrong, and then I go, oh, yeah, but I didn't put blackface on, did I? No, I didn't. So
that is
that's
stunning.
That's a lot, right?
I can't believe at this moment in time, he hasn't resigned yet. It's weird. Like, we all know, like, dude, it's over. You don't know it's over.
Right.
Everyone
right.
else knows it's over.
Right. The Republican Party, I'm sure he's going to, someone said that they thought he'd become a Republican.
Oh, Blaine Patch had a really good joke about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's weird how we all know. And mm-hmm. we're just waiting for this guy to realize what we already know.
That he's done. Yeah. I mean, if he wants to still be in the public service. I mean, the thing is Chris Titus said something about on Twitter.
Yeah.
About how he's like, if I get judged for everything that happened to me 35 years ago. And I'm like, no, that's not what's happening here. This is
The governor of the state that was formerly the held the capital of the Confederacy, which was a rebellion of traitors,
right? And the weird thing is that where okay but the 35 okay so 35 years ago
mm-hmm.
he was in blackface, he was in a KKK hood. And he was 22 years old, right? Or 24 years old.
I don't know. He's in med school, so
at
least. Yeah, right.
This is not a... Because I had a friend who... I have a friend who does stand-up, and I texted him. I said I was going to tell this story, and he never texted me back, so we will not be mentioning his name.
Okay.
But...
Care to write it down?
Well, you don't know him.
Oh.
And he's a really great comic, but he is not... He's a Midwestern guy. And,
okay.
And so you don't know. But...
Dude, I've worked the Midwest. I might know him.
Wow. If you insist, allow me to write down a name that you don't know.
Yes, I know him.
You don't know him.
Yes, I do.
All right.
He works out here at the Improv.
Nope.
Then there's somebody else with a similar name, right?
Okay, probably.
Okay.
Very, very possible.
Okay.
When he was 9 years old, he was in South Dakota, and his grade school did a production of The History of Jazz.
In South Dakota.
Oh, my God. In 1975.
Oh, my God.
Guess what happened? They put all of these 9-year-old white children in blackface.
Oh, my God.
There's a picture of him in blackface when he's 9 years old.
Wow.
So 25 years ago, when we were doing stand-up together,
yeah,
he used to do a joke about it. And it was, he would show the picture on a screen, and he would be like, what do you think was happening? It was, I mean, it was essentially that kind of thing. He was like, who thought this was a good idea?
Right.
This is 10 years after some serious strides in civil rights.
Sure, sure.
Who puts a bunch of 9-year-olds in blackface?
Right.
In South Dakota. And then he had a very great, an amazing chunk on racism that was just incredibly
powerful.
Sounds
like it was ahead of its time if it was 25 years ago.
So much ahead of its time. So, so this guy, this Virginia.
And he's white? He's white.
Yeah, so
of course, yes.
Couldn't be whiter.
Yes.
And he's almost translucent.
Okay.
But, but it was a really smart, and he's always been this incredible comic that couldn't buy a break if his life depended on it.
Okay.
But he knew then. He's like, if I were to run for office, here's a picture of me. What a horrible thing. And he wasn't 22.
Right.
He wasn't 23 years old where he was making the decision to dress like that because he thought it was funny. Like Prince Harry dressing as a Nazi.
Right.
Harry dressed as a Nazi was like, well, that was clearly really dumb.
Yeah.
And even Prince Harry said that about himself.
Sure. And we all sort of were like, eh, your mother died and your father made you walk behind the casket. So you're allowed, I believe you're allowed to dress as a Nazi once when that, if that happens to you.
is that?
Your mother passed, you have a pass, Jackie.
I have a pass.
You do.
You guys.
You use it whenever you want to.
Use it as a, I was at the comic book store the other day and this kid was like talking to me about how he was talking about how horrible his life was. And I was like, yeah, it's too bad. But he was like 23, 24 years old.
Right.
And you have until 30 for you just to go, well, I should probably deal with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everyone's going to live to be 100 now. People Kyle's age, you're going to live to be more than 100. Not the way you live. He's on the edge.
Not Kyle himself.
Not Kyle himself, but Kyle's generation. Totally going to live to the well into their hundreds and 10, 110, let's say. And so I think by the time you're 30, you're like, you can't keep blaming everything on your parents forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless they live with you. You can.
Thank you. I was about to jump in with this outrageous claim of yours.
Hey, speaking of Kyle, let's not forget for the millionth week in a row that he has a comedy album label that he puts out.
Yeah.
And comedy albums, and two of them just came out. And it's Radland Records.
Oh, cool. That's a great name.
You know why? Because he has a podcast where everything is rad. What's rad? This is rad. That's right. That's a podcast. This is rad. And he enjoys the word rad. And so Radland Records is the name of the thing.
He just said he enjoys the word rad?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
He's been fired.
You've been fired.
What, for setting him up?
He enjoys the word rad? How? That's how you describe him just using a word?
It's a long story, so it's all right. Let's just say I enjoy the word rad.
He enjoys the word... there's nothing wrong with me saying he enjoys the word rad.
You sound like my mother.
Well,
that's what's wrong with you.
Oh, well, there's that feels like fighting words. Let's take it out. Take it to get our swim trunks. Hey, do you remember?
Okay, so Kyle had an album come out called...
That's right. It was Absolute Terror, right?
Absolute Terror. And also, one of our former comics of the week had an album come out,
Solange Castro,
who's hilarious.
His Journey of Self-Discovery.
Yeah.
And also hilarious.
Also recently dropped an album. Our first comic of the week, Marcella Arguello.
Arguello, yeah.
Woke bitch. Is it woke bitch?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, she is one, you guys. So Marcella Arguello is,
But what were we just talking about before?
Woke bully.
Woke bully. Sorry, Marcella. Listen, what I think of you privately and what I say publicly are two different things.
She thinks you are a woke bitch and a woke bully. Own it.
Yeah, she would answer to
She'd
both,
be the first. She'd be the first to do it.
I forget what we were talking about right before Harry. What was it?
Oh, it was about the Virginia guy. But it wasn't.
Oh, so I went to look at my old yearbooks.
Oh, yeah.
And there are, not me, but there are some problematic Cinco de Mayo pictures. I saw a lot of
my God.
White boys from De La Salle in sombreros and ponchos. But I think that's a little less offensive than... Yeah. A lot less offensive.
You can
actually
still buy a sombrero and a poncho, I mean, when you go to Cabo.
It's a Cinco de Mayo thing. Uh-huh.
And we used to have what was called Persian Days in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And my stepmother was a belly dancer.
All right. I have known that 100 hours earlier than this
past.
One.
Yeah. I know it. And... she was in a trio of belly dancers. She did it for exercise, but then they got work. And she's like, what am I? I'm going to turn down $100 to dance the Dance of the Seven Veils with my two hairdresser friends. So the three of them did the Persian Days. They danced. And Darla and I were in high school. My sister and I were in high school. And as they were introduced, Darla looked at the stage and she goes, I'm leaving. And then she walked out, and then I just sort of mingled around the audience. And every time a dude would say, I like the little blonde one, I'd go, that's my mom. And then I'd keep moving. And because that was fun for me.
A buzzkill,
anyway.
Even back in the day.
Right. That's it. Constantly boner killcation. That's what they used to call me in high school. It's what's written in my yearbook. No, nobody wrote in my yearbook. I don't even think I had
people writing in my yearbook. It was a Catholic, small Catholic girls' school. Everyone was all over it. I mean, we all wrote in each other's books. It's all that kind of round writing that, like, now my cursive is slanted forward. But when you're a teenager, it's like round and circular and
right. You still get the penmanship lessons from your childhood.
I guess so, and I think it's more pleasing to look at as opposed to now. It's just like just writing to get shit written. You know, I think I'm always. It looks angry. It was interesting to just look at everyone's childish handwriting.
Right, right. Hey, don't go changing. All right, have a great summer. Yes. Hope to see you out there.
Did you watch the Parkland Dad stand-up set?
I fucking did. You sent that around.
Right.
And then I was like, is he really a dad who does stand up and then did jokes about his dead son? And then I watched it and I was like, oh no. Oh no, this is a, but I love those posters.
It was a
tiny film is what it was.
Yeah, it was. And it was using stand up to make a point. He's not a comic.
He's not a comic, but 3 minutes, less than that probably.
Yeah. But I mean, it was weird because I watched it a couple times and then. Like I almost, at first I was like, is this real? Because I have performed in front of a picture of a dead child during a benefit at the Improv. Yeah. I'll never forget it. And her parents, she was kidnapped from her front. It was like everyone's nightmare. This kid was like 6 or 7, kidnapped from a front yard.
Wow.
I think her name was Samantha Runyon, if that sounds, or is that an actress?
I don't know.
Okay. Her parents were there, and I'm like, either I
it was a benefit.
Yes, I didn't have kids, so all I talked about was how I hated kids and I didn't have them, or I did have a kid and all I talked about was how I hated my kid. But I was like, why am I here? And but they were the parents were lovely. It was shocking. It was, the whole thing was very disturbing.
Right. Super disturbing. And a giant picture of the kid on the stage.
Yeah. However, if that was me, my giant pictures of my kid everywhere. Fuckers. This is, look what you did.
Yeah.
But this. So at the beginning of this film, you're right. It's a film. The father, his name is Manuel Oliver, and his son was Joaquin.
Yeah.
His son was murdered. And so it was like a response to Louis' jokes.
Right. He was making jokes about how everybody's super whiny in that 40-minute sort of running.
Right.
He was just running the set, right?
But then he also did a thing where he said, if you want to get people to forget that you masturbate, make jokes about the Parkland kids, right?
Oh, okay.
So, and you know, he's allowed to do that. Every comic is allowed to be completely inappropriate. And I mean, I tweeted this, but when Eileen Wuornos was captured, the female serial killer who ended up being played by Charlize Theron, I and probably every female comic in the country, because we never saw each other, wrote the same joke about how she's a feminist hero, the first female serial killer.
Right.
Meanwhile, there could have been her, you know, she killed Johns, so yeah. Who fucking cares? But although I'm sure many of our good comic friends are Johns, but right. But
they're paying for the work. It's that's between them and their
right. But their family could have been in the audience, yes, and been objected. Hey, that was my brother, and right, it's not funny to me. So this guy's response, totally appropriate.
He gets to as well.
Yeah, he does. Out. And I don't. It's weird because he's an artist, I think, so he's already like this. It's not someone. It's oh, right, not like someone just pitched an idea to some grieving parent. He's sort right of a provocateur.
Like, he's not an electrician,
right?
He's,
right,
he's
right.
Actually, before a performer, he was like, yeah, he is.
It would
he's
be
crafty,
like if it happened to one of us in
yeah
a way.
Yeah.
And I remember after Sandy Hook, one of the Sandy Hook dads is a jazz musician.
Okay.
And he made an album about mm-hmm his daughter, and it's, oh my God, it is
heart
beautiful. And you just, if you didn't know it was about a murdered 6-year-old,
yeah,
you'd be like, this is great. But I mean, it's so heavy to
right
know, if you know the background of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, I mean, it was really hard to watch. And I felt like, yeah, of course you would do that if you're a parent. You fucking, yeah, you, of course you're going to punch back if you feel like it. Now, for everyone else who watched that to all of a sudden be like, fuck Louis and fuck. It's like, no, that's not the problem. The problem is the NRA, and the problem mm-hmm is our gun laws and the Republican Party.
Right.
Louis,
there's Louis, separate issues.
He's a
with
dick
Louis
for different reasons.
Yeah.
But he actually is allowed to use this, you know, I mean, are they great jokes? There wouldn't be anything I'd write.
Right.
You know? I mean, I think if you were writing about a school shooting, you'd write about how you think you'd react and then make yourself look like a shithead who's hiding behind
right
kids or something like
right
that, as
I
opposed
mean
to making fun of the actual
right. You don't make fun of
it
the victims, and you
you
can if you made it funny.
It's a little more successful if you make fun of yourself.
Right.
It's kind of comedy 101, and I'm surprised he doesn't know that.
Weirdly enough, comedy 101.
No, please put that down.
I showed it to you before. Somebody sent me this, and it is insanity. It is the glossary of stand-up comedy terms by some guy who has a glossary of stand-up comedy terms. It gives definitions to comedy slang. He spelled typo, slag. And
is he British?
His name is Dean.
Yes.
Okay. His slogan is, to be funny, talk funny.
I don't want to hear this anymore. And put that phone down. We sat down to do a podcast, and you're like, oh, it's a clock eater. Hey, I've got fucking shit to talk about. We don't have to eat
yeah
clocks,
all right, well,
okay?
All right. So, but well, the thing is, there were some people. Yeah.
Well, no, and I watched that thing. And then, like, at the next day, I reacted as a mother first.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I was like, you know, one of his jokes is kind of like one of my jokes from my special. I was a little annoyed.
Oh, the because, guy who doesn't do stand-up?
Yeah, he goes, he did a thing of, does anyone here like dead baby jokes?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Oh, right.
Or something like, well, my baby, you know, I don't
I have a dead baby.
I have a dead baby. Yeah. And I had a knock-knock joke in my special, knock-knock, who's there? Not my dad, he's dead. Which is, I was like, it's a little similar.
It's parallel
but
thought.
I can't. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to ring him up.
Anywhere.
I'm not going to tag him on a tweet about it.
Yeah. No, you aren't. Please don't. And of course, it doesn't have, and they aren't that similar at all. I mean, if we started doing that.
Well, I mean, the thing of using a structure and then being dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's, whatever. But it doesn't matter at all. But I did, once
that's
I got,
what Kate, that's what,
once
that
I got out of
next
being a mother and I was a comic, I was
yes
like,
Yes. It is, I just came from doing a set. I haven't done a set all week. This is it. I haven't done since Sunday night.
Wow.
Or Sunday afternoon even, when we did sets before the last podcast.
Oh, right.
And a couple things are happening during these 5 days.
Yeah.
Because what is it? Thursday? No.
Tonight
yeah
is Sunday.
Oh, I haven't done, yeah, 7 days.
Wait, I thought you went to, when are you going to Comedy Works?
On Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It will already have happened when this goes up.
Are you having a hot flash right now?
No, are you?
Because I am, and I'd like to turn the heater down. Are you guys warm?
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you.
All right.
I mean, it is set
what
to
are your,
84. I don't think I'm at,
what
out
are
of
your,
line.
What are your hot flashes like?
I just get warm.
Does it feel like you have like, 'cause sometimes I feel like the inside of my body is melting, but the outside of my body is cool.
No.
Do you have that?
I just feel really warm all the time. I feel like I'm standing in front of a heater.
Oh, and just too hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
And slightly nauseous.
Oh, and slightly nauseous.
It does go away very quickly, but the addition of the heater set to 84 isn't helping me.
Right.
A space heater, yeah.
And having to stare at the number 84 while you're sweating and unhappily
hot. I'm trying to divert myself with the twinkling lights, but it's...
There they are.
Really.
It's like Kyle's wearing a hat. it's a hat of twinkling lights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
So you had 5 days off.
Yeah, seven. I haven't done stand-up in 7 days. I did a set tonight. It was really fun. And I felt good about... Because quite honestly, I haven't wanted to leave the house. I've slept till 10:30 every morning.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like a vacation.
It was very much like a vacation. I literally just stayed in my house and then would sleep a little bit. And then I'd get up and I'd watch... I watched a bunch of things that nobody else is watching on Netflix.
Does Netflix thank you after you watch it?
They're like, thank God, someone is finally watching. It's called like Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Oh, I started watching that.
Oh, yeah?
I like the camera work on that. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's you find out in the last part of it that she's from California.
Mm-hmm.
She Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And then she worked at Chez Panisse.
Hmm.
And she is a Iranian.
Oh, with
Iranian.
Alice Waters? Is she, and she's what?
She's Iranian. Okay. Iranian ancestry.
Okay.
Because her mom is on the last episode.
Oh.
And throughout this whole thing, she kind of reminds me where, but except she's like me, except for she speaks five languages, clearly, and got to go to Italy and talk about the fat content of pasta.
I saw that one. I think that's the one I saw.
Yeah, the salt one is in Japan. You would like that one.
I did see that one.
I didn't like
any of that food.
No, you didn't like any of that food. There has to be a way. I was explaining to Andy Ashcraft how much you had enjoyed just a basic meal of butter noodles or just something. And I was like, I don't know what to introduce her to.
Am I a project for you too?
Yeah, all of a sudden it became...
maybe you should start doing spots and stop trying to make me eat stuff that feels gross.
I was like, does she like different meats? That's what he had to say. So I watched a lot of television and I was like, maybe I'll never do stand-up comedy again. And I've never had that thought again. And it made me kind of
before.
Teary.
You've never had it before.
I've never had that. Yeah. I've never had that thought before.
Right.
And, not with any sort of, I'd be all right. Except for that I'd also got kind of, I got real depressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was just like, am I having a nervous breakdown because I'm not doing stand-up and I don't want to, but I kind of need to.
Right, right.
And then tonight I did stand-up and I left the stand-up set and I was like, oh yeah, this always makes me feel better.
Yeah.
About everything. Mm-hmm. And
but it's good to take a couple of days off and just sort of decompress.
Well, you know how it is where you're just like, you never say no to stuff.
Right.
And you just keep going and you don't have time to refill, to use the artist's way,
mm-hmm.
to refill the well.
Oh, I know. Who's that for?
I wish
trust fund person. I feel like you have to have the time to take yourself on an artist date. Right. And, you know, I mean...
Right, your day is already full.
I'm doing chores.
And you're supposed to do an artist date alone.
Right.
And you are not allowed to be alone. At no time
those
are you...
Those are road weeks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
Well, that's interesting. Nice.
I don't know if it was nice. It was mm-hmm. certainly interesting, and I'm looking forward to going to Denver. Like I did like the bare minimum of keeping my career afloat in these 7 days. Like I put my phone away for like 2 or 3 hours a day, and didn't go on the computer. And I was just like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go over here and read a comic book and live my life in a different way. And it was so rainy and dark that I was sleeping a lot.
I know. It's
good sleeping weather.
It's also like Do people like? It seems like people in England and Australia, they have like comedy seasons, you know, where they all lead up to doing their hour, then they do that hour, and they take time off. It's almost like a school season, you know. Maybe it doesn't follow exactly summer and stuff like that. Maybe it's the fall they take off, but it. But we don't do that really here. We're just like
nonstop, go, nonstop,
and then. When you're not wanted by the industry, that's when you're supposed to take a vacation and you're completely paranoid.
Right.
I mean, it's no way to live a life.
Right. You know? Right. So, I mean, having a whole life is very, very important. And I learned that I have to relearn basic life things over like every 7 to 9 years.
Right.
Like I used to write on my hand the word listen. You'll find this entertaining. But I used to write it on my hand about 5 or 6 years ago at about, you know, over the last 40 years, I've written it on my hand just to remember to shut up and listen to other people.
But and so actually, while you're commanding yourself to listen, you're not making eye contact with the person you're talking to.
Or paying attention to what they're saying. But I am silent. It does help. It does help their psyche.
It's a start.
It is a start. Are we at 30 minutes?
We are at 25.
Well, that's not what I'm looking for. It's a. But anyway, so a guy came up to me after my set.
Mm-hmm.
And,
tonight?
New York comic. You might know this guy. Mm-hmm. His name's Patrick Holbert.
I don't know.
Anyway, he just moved here from New York.
Okay.
And he followed me outside in the rain so that he could say that my dad's advice, never say no without a number, which Maria's been doing a bit about, changed his life this year.
Oh.
He was like, I didn't want to do this thing. And now, and so that advice changed my life. And I said, did you get the giant bag of money or did you end up having to do it but get a giant bag of money? He was like, I'm doing it, but I get a giant bag of money. I'm going to Jamaica.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, who doesn't want to go to Jamaica to do stand-up? That's weird. That he didn't
that's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, my father, changing lives.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a couple nights off, and I just hung out with my kid. That's all I do when I have nights off.
Yeah.
I'm not...
You just watch the...
I'm not partying.
No.
And then I did 3 spots on Friday in Los Angeles, which is unheard of.
Where'd you go?
So first I was at Laura House's show at the Improv.
Oh, there you go.
Which I thought started at 7.
Yeah.
So I had the other staggered an hour later.
Yeah.
Starts at 8.
Uh-oh.
And her normally she's on Saturday and starts at 7, but they moved it and they just bumped it up an hour later.
Ooh.
Oh, so I got there early. So I was just watching. There's an open mic that was packed. Most probably with
Friday.
Other comics. Yeah.
The Improv Lab?
Yeah, in the lab. And it just like to be around that open mic energy, you know, it's like, oh my God, I remember this. And that hoping you get up on stage, hoping you get picked.
Yeah.
And when you don't, it's like trying to be like, it's a cool.
It's all right.
It's cool, right. But it's not cool.
It isn't.
Because you wanted to go up, and you went all the way out there.
And you sat through an hour and a half of other people doing stand-up.
And some of them probably sucked.
Well, yep. And you're like, I could fix this.
I know.
I could fix this room.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. Mm-hmm. That time's great, and it's awful. It's everything.
Right.
It's everything.
Yeah.
And so then I went up and did Laura's show, and then my phone died. And so I couldn't text the people at the Ruby, but I was like, I'm coming. So I was like driving as quickly as, and I got there right before they almost had to be out.
Oh,
so
God.
I just did, you know, I got up at like 8:50 or something. I did it. I think I did what I was supposed to do,
good.
But they had to be out by 9. They had a hard out. And then I'm leaving there to go to Bar Lubitsch because they said, well, the last spot's at 9:40.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
Well, it wasn't. It was much later, which is fine.
Yes.
But I was pulling out quickly and I almost like ran over Felicia Folks. Also on the Ruby.
Oh, geez.
And I just saw her clutch her heart and then walk away. And, so Kim Kalish, who booked the show, I'm like, what's Felicia's last name? I have to apologize for almost running her over.
Right.
So I sent her a message on
Facebook. I got to see Liz Glazer's set tonight because her and Ivana, and I think it's Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, it's S-H-E-I-N, but they run the show that I did tonight, and Liz was hilarious, and Ivana was funny, but I had to book over here. Mm-hmm. But they were both. Oh, I know. Ivana referenced my flirting bit, and she said, I actually love to flirt. You know, the Jackie and Lori show has changed my life this year, and it's really saved. It's just helped me get through this administration and this life. And then there was a pause, and she looked at me, and she goes, do you feel better about yourself? Which is the definition of flirting.
Oh,
is when you make
nice.
Someone feel better about themselves.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, oh, I see what you did there. I kind of like it. It was really actually very funny.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway, so, yeah, it's so great. I was thinking about the comic of the week list is so amazing mm-hmm. because there's no end to it.
Right.
And it's just more and more proof.
Did you see, well, we were in our text group.
Yeah.
Who posted that? Was that Kira that took a picture
of
Zanies? They had only female headliners listed for like 10 shows.
Right.
It was really cool. And
it was
wasn't
over
3
months.
It wasn't like, hey, International Women's Month. It's
right.
like, it was just February. And they just
right.
had a fucking hell of a lot.
I think it was 3 in February, 2 in March, and 1 in April.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
And there were some special events. Were you on that poster?
No.
Okay. Because
it was
I took
Downtown
that poster
Zanies. Yeah.
And I sent it to Bert and
oh,
with
nice.
Maya Vales. I said, this is great, Bert. Anyway, I thought I'd send you Maya Vales. And
and did he respond?
Well, I just sent it to him today.
That's great.
Because we just saw the poster today.
Yeah.
And plus, I'm booked. I literally had to go to June and July to give him a Vales.
That's good.
Yeah.
Some clubs aren't booking like years in advance as much anymore. Is
some,
that right?
You know, some book for the whole year and then some just book 3 months in
Why
advance.
Why did they do that? But they're going to cancel on you anyway. Just fucking go 3 months in advance.
Yeah, 3 months in advance
so
is
I
the way to
So I can get in there.
I know it. So I think it's time to do the comic of the week.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
It's Meredith.
Jackie threw her glasses on.
I threw my glasses so that I could, because I watched her set and it was hilarious.
Yes.
Online.
Very funny.
This is a recommendation of Kyle Clark's, and we watched some YouTube videos and she's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Meredith Casey.
Yes. Very
Meredith
funny.
Casey. And it's Murdereth?
Meredith.
Meredith. M-U-R-A-D-E-T-H. Yeah. Meredith Casey is really funny. And she is a great comic, and she is our comic of the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Check her out. And then we watched another YouTube video. Oh, should we drop an ad right now?
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, let's throw it to the Max Fun people.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is J. Keith Van Stratton, host of Go Fact Yourself, a live game show here in the Maximum Fun Network. On Go Fact Yourself, we take the smartest people we know and make them look dumb.
Paul, by the way, how much do you know about chicken husbandry?
You gotta give him that grain.
All right.
Gotta give him that grain.
And then smart again.
What future Hall of Fame pitcher for the Cleveland Indians became the first active player to enlist?
Bob Feller.
Oh, okay.
We've got me, co-host Helen Hong, plus celebrity guests and actual surprise experts.
All right, we have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure.
Is it Alan Avey?
Helen, who do we have tonight?
Alan Havey!
Alan Havey!
In the coming weeks, you can hear guests like Maria Bamford, Tom Bergeron, Paul F. Tompkins, Janet Varney, and Grant Imahara. Check us out on the first and third Friday of every month here on the Maximum Fun Network.
And we're back. So,
hey, look, it happened.
We watched a roast battle. I've watched a couple roast battles recently.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's something... If I were just starting, I would aspire to be doing that.
You'd be really good at it. You'd be so fucking good at it.
It would be fun, but it's not something I want to put my energy into now.
I'm doing boast rattle. Have you ever done boast rattle?
I have.
you would be really good at that, too, if you wanted to.
I don't think I was. It's hard for me to compliment people. It feels unnatural.
Well, it might be a learned skill. And I don't like boast. I don't want to do roast battle.
I mean, watch, it was like an audience. It's just such a different audience experience.
Yeah.
Like you go out, this audience wants blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they want one-liners that are vicious.
Just vicious and brutal. And everybody knows going in. I mean, that's the good news.
It is the good news, but it's also a little... here's what I like about a brutal one-liner is when people aren't expecting it. So if you tuck it into something and they're like, what the fuck just happened? That's my favorite. versus the expectation of every word coming out of your mouth has it has teeth to it and fangs
right.
and is going to decimate somebody
right,
that's
that
sitting beside
feel,
you. Yeah. In a way, it feel there's a heaviness to that that. Mm-hmm. But it's also so short mm-hmm. that you can sustain, you know, you can do it for 5 minutes.
Yep.
But it's a definitely, you know, it's a different kind of performing experience for
it
sure.
It really is. And it doesn't feel like the kind of stand-up I like, where it doesn't feel like, it's not straight stand-up, it's themed, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about themed stand-up 1,000 times on this show, but... I like to do my act.
It's a yes. It's not your act.
It is
no
your
one's
act.
Act.
It's no
and
one's act.
And there are jokes that are gone. Unless you know, you find there's another asshole
right.
who also is bald, and you're going to go after him in the same way.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot of work for one show. But that's fine. That's cool.
I wonder, yeah. I mean, it's a muscle that some people definitely want to work, and
yes.
It's a fun muscle for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't
yeah.
you go see a lot of them, Kyle?
A lot of my friends are roast battle comics.
Yeah.
So you go see a lot of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's it feels, and I like to hear about them secondhand, quite honestly. I'd like to see the one I watched was edited for television.
Okay, yeah.
So nobody had to sit through, you know, remember
they live stream every show. They're all on YouTube.
Are they?
Every
they live stream them. Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
No. I was just going to say, you really cornered yourself now. I'd love to watch them live stream. They are. Okay.
I don't want any part of live stream. I want part of not live, fully, heavily edited is what I want. I want you to come get me the 7 minutes that were amazing
out
of that hour and a half show.
I saw on Comedy Central were pretty. They were good jokes. I mean,
yeah.
They were harsh. They were super harsh. Yeah. They were great.
The ones I saw were super. So we should also tell people about, because this week that this comes out, I'm in Milwaukee for Valentine's Day with Carmen Morales
mm-hmm.
Doing the 14th, February 14th. I've been offered no less than 5 spots now for February 14th.
Hmm.
And I'm like, nope, still working.
Yeah.
Already too soon. And yeah, so the 14th, I'm in Milwaukee, and then the 5th.
What's the venue?
Oh shit,
dude, come on, that's promotion 101.
It's the city of Milwaukee. How big is it? Why don't you go into town and go, hey, here, there's some stand up.
Where's Cation
playing? And why don't you go to JackieCation.com and take a look at it? And so yeah, but then the 15th, I fly to New York.
Are you doing spots on the 15th?
I just talked to Josh Gondelman, who's the sweetest guy in comedy, it turns out, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he...
What if he's a serial killer, secretly?
Secretly? No, he's got puppies. He's got... Doesn't he have animals?
Probably.
Yeah, he's probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't he write for Last Week?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
No, he's
sure.
all good. He's
yeah.
all good.
He's,
great. He's very funny.
Josh Gondelman has no secret life. The
Damn
secret
it.
Life of Josh
Prove
Gondelman.
Prove me wrong, Josh. Prove me wrong.
Exactly. Are you actually, I saw there was some climber dude
yeah.
who was holding on to the face of Yosemite with just his thumbs. Like he was the first guy to climb that El Capitan in
right,
Yosemite.
Right.
Without ropes or any sort of just free fall climbing. And everybody was like, you're nuts. You have a death wish. And he's like, no, I'm just really good at this. I don't think you people understand. Anyway, so I'm looking for sets on Friday the 15th. But I don't have any yet.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, you have more than one set besides our show at QED.
I just have one. I'm at Eastville in Brooklyn.
Okay.
It used to be in Manhattan and it moved to Brooklyn, but it kept its name, Eastville.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you're in Brooklyn because that'll be a pain in the ass. I am jealous that you have another set that night.
It's just one.
Yeah.
It's just one.
I know.
Thank you.
But thank
I hope
you
it cost me a lot of money in my lift to get to
lot
the
of money.
To QED.
It's then I'll have to go first.
No, I have to go first this time, right?
I think we're trading off. Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's
so
your
I
turn.
Have to go first. So we're at QED at 9:30
yep.
This Saturday, and we're doing stand up and then a live podcast.
Yep.
And QED is this great
Queens.
It's not necessarily. It's a comedy club, but it's also a space, a performance space.
Yeah,
they
a lot of different.
Stuff.
Yeah, they do a lot of like they sort of do classes out of it, and they also do a lot of improv and sketch stuff.
They have
stuff.
Another section where they have board games and sell books, and it's they just have a really cool.
They have coffee, yes. And I think they have beer. They might have a beer license.
And the woman who runs it, who owns it, Cambie Cruz,
yep.
She wrote a memoir. Oh, I'm forgetting the name of it. But it's about growing up with deaf parents, and her father is in prison for killing a judge. And she wrote this great, great book about it. Lifetime did a movie about it. Yes. Yes. Her life is like jaw-droppingly interesting.
I don't think I knew any of that. All I remember is that her name starts with a K.
Yeah.
Cambie.
Yeah. There's more.
It's there's more than, there's the more K than just her name starting with a K.
She could coast off the K name, I guess, if
the
she wanted
K is
to.
Pretty amazing. Who's got a name that starts with a K that's Cambie? That's amazing.
Cambie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then her husband is a hilarious comic named Christian Finnegan. Yeah. And we shared a Office of Tough Crowd for a year. So I
remember
I just
Christian Finnegan
them.
From the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And but you know what he's known for? Is being Cambie's husband. And because her past sounds I might need to actually read that memoir.
There's, I think I have it.
Cool.
I'll look for it.
All right.
If I didn't condo it out of there.
Fair enough.
But it's great.
So we're gonna have to record one for whatever week that is for the next day.
Yeah.
And get it to Kyle. But we also have to do another one because I'm staying in New York for another week, but I'm gone before you get there. Come back.
Right.
Because I'm going to Duluth.
I'm coming back on Friday.
I'm doing Fargo and Duluth with Maria. And so we're flying to Fargo. Get this. Then we're going to drive to Duluth on February 23rd from Fargo.
So?
Most of the 90s, I spent driving around between Fargo and Duluth in February. And it's one of the dumbest things I've ever did for 6 years.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. The it's a terrible time to drive. Okay. It's also a 5-hour drive.
Oh.
And so we would
but
have to
leave.
But
at least you're with someone you can talk to for 5 hours.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't have a problem spending 5 hours with Maria in a car. It's super fun. But we'll both be exhausted by the time we get there. But if we fly, it'll also take 5 hours. Because we'll fly Duluth. We'll fly Fargo to Minneapolis, Minneapolis to Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
But
horrible. I do think that people in Duluth are used to exhausted performers and they won't care. They'll be so grateful that you drove up
there.
And
we have 2 nights in Duluth. They added another night.
Oh, cool.
So
did she sell out the first one?
I think so.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Seems the reason they, yeah.
I am the 14th this week. I'm at Flappers with Kira, I think. We're co-headlining.
What?
Or something.
Oh, that's
a
hell of a show.
Yeah,
you
I'm
and
excited.
Kira Sultanovich. Yeah.
Yeah, so come for that if you can.
Stay for the comedy.
Okay, I'm not going to say his name, but in our text group,
somebody
sat next to a male comic. Who currently has lots of hair, but as we saw when we were analyzing his pictures,
Ooh.
He doesn't have much longer with all that hair.
And he's a dick, right?
And he's a dick.
Is he? I don't remember who.
You don't know.
No.
Dude, you know,
how
you know this.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
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 Well, here's the thing about that guy. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. He is hugely, like, I hear more stories about what a piece of shit that guy is than
he just said offhandedly to one of our friends, what are these hot female comics going to do when they hit 40 or 50? I can't wait
till he loses all of his hair.
Oh, I
what
know,
a
dude,
fucking piece
that's
of
that's
shit.
That's why I found that picture and showed you guys. It's going.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Because when he hits 40 and he doesn't have any hair anymore. Because the thing is, I don't have a problem with bald guys. I don't know if you know a lot of bald guys. I mean, we all do.
That's fine. But somebody who
cares that much.
Act is based on whose entire reason to be on stage is to fuck the women in the audience and whose act is based on being a handsome guy and kind of doing that kind of a thing. When they start to age, it's not pretty.
It is not pretty. Do you know this guy?
Because they don't know how to comedically handle it. They're not good at it. Because all of their comedy is about
how
about
cute
being
they are,
a male and
they
about
are.
Getting laid after the show.
Yep.
And they don't know how to dig deep. And they don't know how to be funny. Really,
right? They can't make a lateral move. That guy. Remember that guy?
Oh, right. Yes.
That guy used to be super cute.
Right.
And now he is a 60-year-old creep. But he's probably only 50.
Yeah.
But he seems like a 60-year-old creep.
Right.
And but there's Yeah, you're right. Those guys, if you write comedy like that and you don't ever sort of get another layer of it.
Right.
You're screwed.
And you, well, he doesn't have another layers. There's people like they don't have deeper layers.
Right.
They're really firing on all cylinders right now. There's nothing else there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes, like, do you ever read the Anne Rice novels, the Interview with the Vampire, etc.?
I tried.
And I just read this other book called Eternal Life, where it's this woman who can't die. She keeps, like, around 80, she gets set on fire, and she comes to as an 18-year-old and starts over again.
Wait, does she literally burst into flame like
Phoenix? No. She will set herself on fire. Right, that's how she gets out of it.
She's a phoenix.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
So... But she keeps talking about the repetitiveness of, like, oh, this son reminds me of that son, and the life just, like, she keeps having the same kind of kids over and over again, and everything's sort of similar.
And, wait, so she goes through her life gets married and has
thousands
kids and
of years old. Yes, her first life was in Jerusalem, like, you know, 1,000 BC or something like that. Or maybe that's not exactly right.
Whatever.
I mean, it's fiction.
But
so
it's a couple thousand years.
Yeah, so she's been alive for 2,000 years, pre-Jesus at least.
Right.
So I've seen this before. And I feel like we've been in comedy enough long enough where, like, I know that guy. And if he doesn't get a sitcom soon, I know it's going to happen.
Right.
You know,
he's going to turn into that guy.
It's going to be podcasts and supplements.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's going to get divorced is what he's going to happen. The thing is if he doesn't get the thing that he wants, that he's been working for.
Right.
He's going to get a divorce.
I've seen the trajectory. I don't know what our trajectory is going to be or what it is right now because I haven't seen it before.
We're unicorns, though.
We really are. But I've seen the hot guy who has no substance but kills anyway. I've seen many of them and since the 80s. And, you know, a lot of them keep their money and stuff, but it's just they just sort of... comedically the relevancy goes away and then you know you're just another guy doing dick jokes
right and there's a whole new batch of guys that get work because they're young and good looking.
Yes.
I mean it's just sort of like and it will be a thing when there are enough women that there's going to be like a slew of women getting work because they're young and hot and then they age out because they don't write anything. Then the real freedom will come because that'll be justice. No, I don't know. It's because then equality will happen. I will be just as irritated with those women as I am with those men.
There's not as many women like that as there are guys like that.
Not at all. Not at all.
Because the guys are rewarded at the end of the show with women, and hot women aren't rewarded necessarily with men. So they're not getting
work. and they aren't rewarded often enough, quickly enough, and quickly become not hot enough. Like with the women, the life cycle of the fruit fly is a lot tighter.
The point
is, dudes get to be hotter and dumber for longer,
right?
And get some work out of it. Women can be hot and dumb for only a short amount of time, and then you have to be smarter.
Here's how you can save yourself: write great jokes.
That's it.
That's how you can save yourself.
Yeah.
And that's how you can always be a comic.
And
always going to be making a shitload of money? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what our money's going to be like one day.
Nope.
You know, everything's okay now, but it could go away. And it will. Of course it will. We'll go away.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the dirt soon.
Did you ever follow Rose Marie on Twitter before she passed?
Yeah.
And now her daughter runs her Twitter account. And so she just posted a picture of her mom today.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, my mom never did. She would have supported the Rams, but she wouldn't have watched the show. She never watched the Super Bowl. But she would have hoped that TCM was either showing a Bette Davis movie or Gone with the Wind because she loved those. And she said she was collecting plates and she showed this picture of Rose Marie, clearly one of in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And she had those plates that old ladies have.
Right.
Gone with the Wind plates. She had plates with Rhett Butler on them.
Right.
And I was like, "Why? You're never too old to be a nerd. What a dork!" And it was pretty awesome. Yeah,
how, I mean, how did what I was just talking about?
Because he was talking about how you never know what your life is going to be like.
Oh, right.
You
know? Yeah,
and it always ebbs and flows, and it always. But if you write, and if you keep, if you have substance from the get, you know, like I was thinking about Christopher Titus.
Right.
You know, I opened for him twice.
Yeah.
In the last 35 years.
Right.
He never knew who I was until about 4 years ago. He saw me at Flappers.
Right.
And he followed me into the kitchen. And he was like, "Who are you?" And I was like, "Oh my God, you're me." Because anytime in the next moment to 10 years from now, there's going to be somebody who's amazing that I'll see on stage and I'll be like, "Who are you?" And they're like, "I worked with you twice." And I'll be like, "Oh shit." Because that's exactly like I opened for him at Knuckleheads at the Mall of America in probably 96 or 97.
No one wants to remember those shows.
Why would they? And then I opened for him at the Punchline in Sacramento in 2003.
Oh, cool.
Featured for him both times.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 years ago, he was like, "Oh my God, you're so funny." And so, but his act has always been interesting, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, it's not his fault that his fans all want to wear those bowling shirts with flames on them. But his stories are so heartfelt and real.
Mm-hmm.
And even his current stuff where he's got, like, I guess he's got a lot of political stuff, but he takes it to such a personal level. So you can take anything and make it personal.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
For the love of God, please do. Because that's what I want to hear anyway. I mean,
yeah. I mean, also, you know, if you're young, you probably don't have a ton to talk about yet, right?
Yep.
I mean, you're still getting used to having opinions mm-hmm. and sticking with them, or, you know, changing your mind on things. And so it takes a while to not only just to find your voice as a comic, but as a person. You know, I just was always listening all the time when I was a teenager, and I would rarely voice an opinion unless it was just to a couple girlfriends and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it just took me a long time to go, "Oh, I feel like that about that thing. Okay, I'm all in on it then," you know?
Yeah.
And then to change my mind later when I would do more research. And
right, someone would give you some actual extra new info.
But like now I'm very comfortable with my opinions, but mm-hmm. I would have been mortified that I had such strong opinions a long time ago when I was like a teenager, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, even if you're a new comic,
mm-hmm.
everybody has a Cambry. You know, Cambry's life is unique to her, right? So everyone has something unique about their lives,
right?
That they can mine and go, because everyone had these weird childhoods that they thought were normal.
Yeah, but what if you don't? I mean, there's also people that don't have the obvious thing that's crazy,
right?
In a life, right? In a family. And it takes a while to kind of figure out the subtle things that are strange about your family.
Or to even notice.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It takes a while for you to get away from your family and to go, what was that thing that just raised me, that entity, that moving, but you know, those cells, those animal cells that raised me, like who were they? And to get away from them. And it takes time.
It does take time. But and one, a good perspective, I think, sometimes is like if you think you grew up in something that was relatively perfect, right? You're like, well, this looks like the June Cleaver, you know, this looks like a very TV kind of family where everything looked perfect. And then you go over to your friend's house and they don't, you know, I remember like everything. It doesn't mean that the family wasn't good, right? I was mm-hmm. like my brother and his wife are she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Their kids didn't recognize a vegetable. There were different vegetables. They didn't. They were like, "What are those?" And we made fun of them for years. Mm-hmm. And but it made them reintroduce more vegetables into their lives because they were just eating. They were so busy, mm-hmm. my brother and his wife, that they were just feeding their kids boxed, you know, just sort of food.
Are you talking about me without talking about me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I am. What is happening with your son? I said, could he recognize a bell pepper if he saw it?
No, but he has a similar palate as I do, where he just likes it real
basic.
Do
you know why? Because he was he's around a similar palate.
Maybe because
he's going to grow up and he's only going to eat, I don't know, the spiciest of all, what Mexican food. Doesn't his abuela? Is there any sort
of? She doesn't see her too much. She's in Texas.
I know, but didn't he go over Christmas or something or Thanksgiving?
I guess so.
Yeah, he was probably introduced to some cornmeal. Come on.
Oh my God, Jackie. Oh my God.
It's a.
I think you were in my yearbook wearing a Cinco de Mayo sombrero. I really do.
I knew that was coming. I was hoping. Anyway, where are we at, Kyle?
We are at 53.
53. So close. Hey, do you want to talk about Max Fun for a second?
Oh, let's take a break. We should do our next. Yes.
Greetings. I am Plek Dexsetter, contacting you from the Zix Squadron, which is frankly sort of crappy, but I'm here on a heroic mission with my trusty crew, C-53.
Heroic feels like an exaggeration.
Okay, sure. And Security Officer Dar.
Plek, don't put me in your stupid recording.
Well, and we're all traveling aboard our trusty starship, the Bargerian Jade. Bargy.
What? Sorry. I'm awake.
It's fine.
I was just flying while asleep.
Hey there, this is Alden Ford. I play Plek, and we are so excited to announce that our podcast, Mission to Zix, is now part of the Maximum Fun Network. Our third season launches on Max Fun on March 20th. Binge seasons 1 and 2 right now. That's Mission to Zix, ZYXX.
Oh, and we're back.
Yes. So then my third spot on Friday was at, it was Jetpack at Bar Lubitsch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was pretty packed there, too.
Sometimes that room can be hit and miss, Barlow.
It was hit. And Lisa Traeger was there.
Oh, nice.
She was so funny.
Oh.
And I was talking to her. Like, she's doing some TV thing out here. And she hired a stylist.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny Zagrino just did Conan. She did a test show at Conan. And she murdered. Had a great set.
I hope.
Either she comes back and does it again, or mm-hmm. she can just use that because it was a great set.
Yeah.
She had hired a stylist. She looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Marina Franklin has hired a stylist for when she did Conan.
What?
I'm just like, this has never occurred to me before.
Right.
You know?
To hire a stylist.
Yeah.
Did you look at any of those photos, by the way? I picked headshots.
I haven't yet. I will. It's on my list. Looking at pictures of myself is not...
it's not high on your list.
It's very
it's
low
not
on
fun.
My list. No.
But I also picked some duo shots.
Yes, thank you.
And I don't know if Kim Newmoney is... she also told... She was kind of behind... she's Barry. She did Baron Vaughn's wedding photos.
Oh, neat.
Did you see those?
No, uh-uh.
Yeah, he got married.
Oh, cool.
And he said, none of you are invited. We already did it. the photos are the wedding. You've
oh,
all been
cool.
invited. And so it's on his Instagram.
I got to check it out. I loved Moisha and Natasha's wedding photos. They were really cool.
Did she do those?
I have no idea.
Okay,
I'm just talking comics wedding photos.
Oh, yeah. Because, Kim Newmoney did the Baron Vaughn ones.
Yeah.
So
that's
cool. I'm okay with mine.
I've never been married. And I never will. Why would I marry?
You would have to want to. I never thought I would marry.
Mm-hmm.
That was... I saw Janine Garofalo one time talking about how she would never get married. And she was... It was such a virulent anti-marriage bit.
Yeah.
And I think I was standing next to Dave Anthony, of all mm-hmm. people, and I said... Did you ever think you'd get married? He goes, not in a million years. And what you have to do is you have to meet someone that you think, oh, I could be married to that person.
how it goes down?
I swear to God, everyone I've talked to, and men, I've heard this about men. Kyle's a man. Let's look at him. And you identify as a man, right?
Yeah,
he does. And so the deal is that I have heard this on various men over the last 100 years that I've been alive, is that they know almost immediately if they're willing to marry or not marry a person that they, a woman that they date or a person that they go out with,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a man or woman.
With caveats for escape along the way.
With caveats? With exceptions, I would say. Of course, there's exceptions, but as far as I've seen, and because men have most of the burden, almost the entire burden, again with caveats and with exceptions, of asking the person, and being the one who has to sort of really put themselves out on a limb and ask the person to get married. And also I've heard that from
Jackie,
most men,
are you an incel?
I'm an incel. I've been voluntary to celibate.
Okay. I don't know where this...
I don't know.
I don't know where this is coming from.
But marriage is such a weird... I don't know. Like, you talk about motherhood sometimes, and it's very speculative, and it's more of a philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think about marriage like that, where I'm just like, well, how did this happen?
Right.
And so I tend to think about the big picture, like, how did it happen? Like, I know how I met him, but I don't know why it worked to go right. to another level.
Right.
And I don't know why he knew that I would say yes when he asked me.
Hmm.
But he clearly did. Because as he said, you know, I wouldn't have asked you if I would have thought you said no. And I was like, oh, fair enough. He's is that funny? Kind of. All right.
That's cool.
Yeah. And but he was the one who also said, I love you first. And then I said, I think I love you back.
Oh, my God.
And he
Jesus.
Said. And then he said, you love me. Yeah. And then we kept driving. A lot of our greatest conversations happened in the car. Onward from Reno, I believe at the time. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. I have 5 sets in New York so far.
That's
besides
cool.
QED. Then Josh Gondelman sent me a list of other things that I'm hoping. There's not really a lot of time now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with a lot of the sort of the alti stuff, you have to get in early.
Yeah.
Because they book it pretty far in advance.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that this podcast will have trajectoried me enough that I can strong arm my way into a couple of shows that I don't already have in
New
York. It's
my second credit now.
I think it's my second or third credit.
Ugh.
Except for, it's, you know what, it's my second credit because The Dork Forest, so fun. Oh, my God. Winter Spears. She was our comic mm-hmm. of the week. She was on this week's Dork Forest, and it was about public restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email and a comment on the YouTube pages from the same person who said, hey, this is a little triggering and gross. I hated this one. And I was like, all right, don't listen to all of them. Don't worry about
God.
It. It's next week's episode is about bats.
It's free.
Yeah. And it is totally free.
Look at this. This is a card. This is a sympathy card. My next door neighbor in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a little bit younger than me. And our kids were born almost at the same time. We were the first ones to have babies in our building.
Yeah.
Because our building was new.
Oh, right.
And she died this week.
This week. I'm
on Monday.
So sorry.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so shocking. I can't believe it. Like, I see her a little bit, but I hadn't seen her too much lately. And
what happened?
She had health problems,
okay.
And I think complications, you mm-hmm. know, from that. So it's so weird. Like, I got a sympathy card. I'm gonna write something tonight, and
yeah,
because I'm not gonna see them for like 2 weeks. That, you know, the dad and the son, who's
yeah.
exactly my son's. I mean, I just can't. It's like, you know, like a hole has been carved out of a boy,
yeah,
and a dad,
yep,
and it just happened right next door to me. It's so strange, you know.
It's really strange
And awful. She was so
sad.
She was really cool and funny, and she was
all the good things.
Always brought a bottle of wine over, and she got in a fist fight with some other lady on her floor, and I was like, I'm on your side. And then she explained it was like, yeah, I'm on your side. Anyway, it just sucks. It's so, I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Death sucks. Yeah, it does suck. And it's so shocking when it's
someone who's 50,
less than that, maybe like mid 40s.
Wow.
You know,
and the boy's 12.
Yeah.
That is hard.
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous.
So have good sets this week.
Right. Keep writing.
Right.
I did. I do have plenty of new jokes to work on. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.